चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुर्वे नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतकराधार श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय, श्रील गुरुदेव की जाय, गौर भक्तवृंद की जाय, गौ प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। श्री उपनिषद 15 हिरण्मयेन पात्रेण सत्यस्यापिहितं मुखं तत्त्वं पुषाण पात्रेण सत्यधर्माय तिष्ठये। O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, reveal faces covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. Pati, would you like to read the purport? Are you there? Mati Singh, Chalam. Chalam Kunshan, Hare Krishna. Haribo. Yes, would you like to read the purport?
Yes, ma'am. I was reading. Sorry, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
In the Bhagavad Gita 14.27, the Lord explains his personal rays, Brahmajyoti, the dazzling effulgence of his personal form in this way. Brahmano hi pratisthatam amrityasya yasya cha sasvatsyasya dharmasya sukhasi kantikasya cha. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahma, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal in the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are three aspects of the same absolute truth. Brahma is the aspect most easily perceived by the beginner. Paramatma, the super soul, is realized by those who have further progressed. And Bhagavan realization is the ultimate realization of the absolute truth. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.7, when Lord Krishna says that he is the ultimate concept of the absolute truth. Mataha parataram naniyat. Therefore, Krishna is the source of the Brahma Jyoti as well as all-pervading Paramatma. Later in the Bhagavad Gita 10.42, Krishna further explains. Athava bahunetina Kim jena tena
that's pronounced gyatena.
Gyatena tavarjuna. Vishtabhyaham idham trishtam. Ekam sena stetu jagat.
Stito jagat.
Stetu jagat. Thank you, Maharaj. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? What is single fragment of myself I pervade? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Thus, by his one plenary expansion, the all-pervading Paramatma, the Lord, maintains the complete material cosmic creation. He also maintains all manifestations in the spiritual world. Therefore, in his Truti mantra of Sri Upanishad, the Lord is addressed as Pursam, Pusam, the ultimate maintainer. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is always filled with transcendental bliss. Anando Mayo Beshyat, Beshashyat. When he was present in Vrindavan in India 5,000 years ago, he always remained in transcendental bliss, even from the beginning of his childhood pastimes. The killings of various demons, such as Agha, Baka, Kutana, and Pralamba, were but pleasure excursions for him. In his village of Vrindavana, he enjoyed himself with his mother, brother, and friends, and when he played the role of a naughty but a thief, all his associates enjoyed celestial bliss by his stealing. The Lord's fame as a butter thief is not reproachable, for by stealing butter, the Lord gave pleasure to his pure devotees. Everything the Lord did in Vrindavan was for the pleasure of his associates there. The Lord created these pastimes to attract the dry speculators and the acrobats of the so-called Hatha Yoga system who wish to find the absolute truth.
Okay, thank you, Bhakti.
Thank you.
And then Gaura Chandra, who would you like to read?
Yes, Maharaj.
That is not my Lord.
I'm very
of the childhood play.
Which paragraph?
Of the childhood play, beginning from there.
Of the childhood play between the Lord and his playmates, the cowherd boy Shukdev Goswami says in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11. Itham satam brahma sukhanubhute dasyam gatanam para devatena maya shikanam narat dharkena shakam vijahru krita punya punja. The personality of God is perceived as an impersonal blissful Brahman by the Jnanis who is worshipped as the Supreme Lord. Devotees in the mood of servitorship and was considered as ordinary human being by mundane people, played with the cowherd boys who had attained their position after accumulating many pious activities. Thus, the Lord is always engaged in transcendental learning activities with his spiritual associates in the various relationships of shant, neutrality, spiritualship, sakya, friendship, vatsalya, parental affection, madhurya, conjugal love. Since it is said that Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavan Dham, one may ask how he manages the affairs of the creation. This is answered in the Bhagavad Gita 13.14-18. The Lord pervades the entire material creation by his planetary part known as the Paramatma or Super Soul. Although the Lord personally has nothing to do with the material creation, maintenance, and destruction, he causes all things to be done by the planet expansion, the Paramatma. Every living entity is known as Paramatma Soul, and the principal Atma who controls them all is Paramatma the Super Soul. The system of God realization is a great science. The material Sankhya Yogis can only analyze and meditate on the 24 factors of the material creation, for they have very little information on the Purusha, the Lord. And the impersonal transcendentalists are simply bewildered by the glaring effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti. One wants to see the absolute truth in full. One has to penetrate beyond the 24 material elements and the glaring effulgence as well. Chambishan points towards this direction, praying for the removal of the Hiranmaya Patra, the dazzling covering of the Lord. Unless this covering is removed, so one can perceive the real face of the person, or a factual realization of the absolute truth can never be achieved. The Paramatma feature or the personality of Godhead is one of three planetary expansions or Vishnu Tattvas, currently known as Purush Avataras. One of these Vishnu Tattvas is within the universe known as Shiva Lakshmi. He is a Vishnu among three principal deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, and he is all-pervading Paramatma in each and every living entity. The second Vishnu Tattva within the universe is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the collective supersoul of all living entities. Beyond these two is Karanodakshaya Vishnu, and who lies in the causal ocean, He is the creator of all universes. The yoga system teaches the serious student to meet the Vishnu Tattvas after going beyond the 24 material elements of the cosmic creation. The culture of empiric philosophy helps one realize the impersonality, which is the glaring effulgence of the transcendental philosophy of Krishna. Thus, the Brahmajyoti is Krishna's effulgence, is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita as well as Brahma Samhita.
Okay,
yes,
thank
sir.
You. And then I'll let Jonathan read.
I apologize, Maharaj. Where are we now?
We're in the Bhagavad Gita 14:20, the Brahma Samhita 5:40, where it says, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagaranda Koti.
Got it.
Koti Svashesha Vasudari Vibhuti Bhinam. The Brahma Nishkalam Anantam Ashesha Bhutam. Govind Namadipusham Tamaham Vajami. And read from there.
In the millions and millions of universes, there are innumerable planets, and each and every one of them is different from the others by its cosmic constitution. All of these planets are situated in a corner of the Brahma Jyoti. This Brahma Jyoti is but the personal rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, whom I worship. This mantra from the Brahma Samhita is spoken from the platform of factual realization of the Absolute Truth. And the Shruti mantra of Sri Isha Upanishad under discussion confirms this mantra as a process of realization. The Isha Upanishad mantra is a simple prayer to the Lord to remove the Brahma Jyoti so that one can see his real face. This Brahma Jyoti effulgence is described in detail in several mantras of the Mundaka Upanishad. Yadan maye pare koshe virajam brahma nishkalam sakram jyotisham jyotis tadyad atma vido viduhu natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto banti kuto yam agnihi tameva bantam anu bhati sarang tasya basa sarvam midam vibhati Brahma, Yivadam, Mamtritam, Purastad, Brahma, Pashad, Brahma, Dakshinatas, Chotarenam, Adas Kurvam, Chaprastrutam, Brahmai, Vedam, Vishvam, Idam, Varishtam. In the spiritual realm, beyond the material covering, is the unlimited Brahman effulgence, which is free from material contamination. That effulgent white light is understood by transcendentalists to be the light of all lights. In that realm, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire, or electricity for illumination. Indeed, whatever illumination appears in the material world is only a reflection of that supreme illumination. That Brahman is in front and in back, in the north, south, east, and west, and also overhead and below. In other words, that supreme Brahman effulgence spreads throughout both the material and spiritual skies. Perfect knowledge means knowing Krishna as the root of this Brahman effulgence. This knowledge can be gained from such scriptures as Srimad Bhagavatam, which perfectly elaborates the science of Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the author Srila Vasudeva has established that one will describe the supreme truth as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, according to one's realization of him. Srila Vyasadeva never states that the Supreme Truth is a jiva, an ordinary living entity. The living entity should never be considered the all-powerful Supreme Truth. If he were the Supreme, he would not need to pray to the Lord to remove his dazzling cover so that the living entity could see his real face. The conclusion is that one who has no knowledge of the potencies of the Supreme Truth will realize the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, when one realizes the material potencies of the Lord, but has little or no information of the spiritual potencies, he attains a Paramatma, a realization. Thus both Brahman and Paramatma, realization of the absolute truths, are partial realizations. However, when one realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, in full potency after the removal of the Hiranmaya Patra, one realizes Vasudevaha Saramiti, Bhagavatam 7.19.
Bhagavad Gita.
That's Bhagavad Gita, pardon me, 7.19. Lord Sri Krishna, who is known as Vasudev, is everything. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He is Bhagavan, the root, and Brahman and Paramatma are his branches. In the Bhagavad Gita, 6.46-47, there is a comparative analysis of the three types of transcendentalists: the worshippers of the impersonal Brahman, jnanis; the worshippers of the Paramatma feature, yogis; and the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, bhaktas. It is stated there that the jnanis, those who have cultivated Vedic knowledge, are better than ordinary fruitive workers, as the yogis are still better than the jnanis, and that among all yogis, those who constantly serve the Lord with all their energies are the topmost. In summary, a philosopher is better than a laboring man, a mystic is superior to a philosopher, and of all the mystic yogis, he who follows bhakti yoga, constantly engaging in the service of the Lord, is the highest. Sri Ishopanishad directs us towards this perfection.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes. In Bhagavad Gita, 6.46, it is said, Tapasvibho dikho yogi, yani bhyo pi mato dikaha, kami bhyascha dikho yogi, tasmad yogi pavarjana. A yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist, and greater than the fruitive worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, be a yogi. And this is explained in chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita. And also, yoginam apisarvesham madgatenantarātmana sharavan bhajate yomam samayuktatmatomata. In 6.47 is explained in of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So, Hiranmayina, the glowing effulgence, this is realized by the jnanis, the mental conception of God. One who has merely a mental conception and imagination of God, that's considered the impersonal Brahman, the personal level of realization. And the yogi who has the Paramatma feature of the Lord in mind is the second type, next highest. And then the devotee of the Lord, the bhaktas, they are the highest. And also those who have cultivated knowledge are better than those who simply engage in fruitive activity. The karmis, the jnanis, and the yogis. And the yogis, the bhakti yogi, is the highest. Any questions?
I have two questions, Maharshi.
Yes.
I was reading the harmonized article and it was stated about entropy. I wanted to ask one question there.
Okay.
Is it not that when, say, a simpler cell forms a complex biological system, say like a human being or something of higher, as it was stated in that entropy is increasing because the biological system is going from a state of orderliness to disorderliness. But if one tries to view it from the viewpoint of information, we see that new information is being created, in fact, and it also holds the past information. So in view of information, the thing looks reverse. I mean, information is not being destroyed, but information is being created.
And?
Isn't it something reverse? In entropy, when it increases the disorderliness of the system, information is being destroyed. But when a complex mechanism or an organism...
We can't define information exactly in terms of entropy. There's not a relationship between information and thermodynamic entropy.
Yeah, but,
That's not what is meant when we speak of information. That's not a correct interpretation of it. These are two different phenomena. One is entropy, one is information. Sometimes they speak of the entropy of the system as relating to the information, but that's not an exact comparison. And there will be difficulties, just as you are pointing out. Information has more to do with communication, not so much with entropy directly. Otherwise, to say that there's more entropy in a complex cellular and a multicellular system than in a single cell, how would we justify that? To say that a multicelled organism has more entropy than a single-celled organism. What is the reason you would say that? I don't know if that's true. It would seem to me one cell is an organized system. Two cells is also an organized system. Each cell has its own organization, and together they are organized. It's not that they are, each cell is doing something randomly with respect to the other. Each of the cells in a multicelled organism are also coordinated with the other cells. So to say that the entropy has increased, I think it would be a little difficult. I couldn't justify that so easily. That's the other question from the thermodynamic point of view. Isn't it?
Yes, Raja. I have one more question.
All right.
Why does God always make good people suffer?
Why does God make good people suffer? From God's perspective, He is equal to everyone. He doesn't cause anyone to suffer or to enjoy. That is done by our own activities. Suffering and enjoyment, shukaduk, is created by our own karma, by our own activities. Otherwise, Krishna is not involved in that. Krishna is involved only in the relationship his devotees have with him directly. So if we say a good person is suffering, that is our limited conception. That we say this is a good person and he is suffering. What good is he? We don't know what he has done in his life, that he may be getting some severe punishment for something he has done in the past. Anyhow, for the transcendental devotee, he is not affected by good and evil, good and bad in that way. He knows that Krishna is transcendental to the so-called good and bad of this world. And that the good and bad is simply like the winter and summer. in the Bhagavad Gita is explained Sitoshna Sukha Dukkha. Agama Paino Nitya Sitoshna Sukha Dukkha. That the transcendentalist is not affected by the sukha and dukkha of this world, because he knows they are just passing, like the warm and the winter cold seasons. They come and go. Come and go, come and go. It's not that anyone can live happily all the time. Some unhappiness must also come in life.
So
that's the nature of our karma.
So when God descends in form, in human form, does he also abide to the law of karma?
No. No, of course not. And not under the control of karma. He comes by his own sweet will, and his activities are also enacted for the purpose of satisfying the devotees only. There is no karma for him. Really, for a devotee, there is no karma either. A devotee will see, if he is suffering, that it may be due to the Lord's kindness upon the devotee for some purpose. He doesn't think that the Lord is punishing him even. It's like Queen Kunti was saying, by having some miserable condition of life, I'm able to remember you more. So she's praying that the Lord may send her a miserable condition. It is also explained that when the Lord shows favor to a devotee, he takes everything away from him, so that his attachment to the Lord increases and his detachment to the world decreases. So, transcendentally speaking, the different order of existence is there.
Thank you, Maharaji.
Can I have some questions?
Yes. What is this question from Sushin? Any difference between Paramatma and Shiradaksha Vishnu? Those who meditate on Paramatma and those who worship Shiradaksha Vishnu. You have asked this question so many times for me.
You told that the
I'm thinking Paramatma, yes, it's coming from Shiradaksha Vishnu. Therefore, they go to Shiradaksha Vishnu. My idea was like that, but I don't know for sure. I don't know, I have any scriptural evidence of that, scriptural support.
Maharaj, once Purushottam Prabhu was also asking, and we are even discussing about this, like whether there is a difference between, you know, Shiradaksha Vishnu and Paramatma, because I see some of the photos.
Yes, there's a difference.
Yes.
There's a difference. Shiradaksha Vishnu is entering each universe. And Paramatma is entering each living entity.
So, Maharaj, and also I see that Shiradaksha Vishnu is lying down on the like Kira ocean.
Sure.
And
sure, yes. Yes. Paramatma is standing up.
Yes, Maharaj, without Lakshmi, and you know, Ananda says. So
right.
It seems there is some, you know, difference, a lot of difference in that.
Of course, of course. But Paramatma is coming from Shiradaksha Vishnu.
Yes, Maharaj.
But he is entering every particle of the universe, where Shiradaksha Vishnu is entering the universe.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, Maharaj, you know, also, you know, yesterday, you know, we were in Navadvip, and one disciple of Srila Govinda Maharaj, is Vijay Prabhu from Delhi, he asked one question, so I also never heard of that. So I told, I will ask Maharaj, and let you know, I told him. So can I ask the Maharaj, you know, something he was telling about chanting?
All right.
Maharaji said that, you know, like we are chanting on the beats, like bigger beats to smaller beats, and then smaller to bigger beats we chant, Maharaj. So what happens, you know, in between if we have to stop, suppose some work is there, seva is there, we go out. So like if we chanting in between, if we leave that and go, should we start from there, or like, you know, if we are going to bigger to smaller, like we should start from smaller or bigger, like that he was having some doubt on that. So I told him, no problem, but I never heard any strict rule on that. But he was telling, you know, wherever we are, you know, stopping from there, we should start like that, something he was telling. So,
I understand. Actually, not all beads call have big and small like that. Some beads act like that. Not all. Because they take from the branch of the Tulsi. That branch comes at some bigger part and then some smaller part is there. But not all beads are like that. Srila Prabhupada gave me some wooden beads, but they are all the same size. So, main point is you start at the Krishna bead. If you have to stop in the middle, you start again from the Krishna bead wherever. Either side, there's no rule that you must start from one side or the other. As far as big or smaller, I don't know. I never heard anything about that. Whether you should start from the big side or the small side.
Generally, in India, you know, the beads are in like this, you know, they are, you know.
And if you have a habit of starting from the small to the big, then you continue like that. This way you follow the same habit. Not confusing. Well, of course, when you're coming back, whatever, if you're coming back, you can start from the big side. It's a matter of what your habit is, how you maintain your count. But there's no hard and fast rule for that I've not heard of.
Yes, ma'am, that's what I also told. I never heard, but I generally start, you know, from week like that, I was told.
All right.
Thank you, Maharaj.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question.
Okay,
I will do it for
Mati.
Yeah, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 23, there is a description of the senses and the ether, how the yogi merge the different elements together. And then it is mentioned that ether resides in the senses and thus merge with them. I cannot understand the statement, how the ether resides in the senses and then the senses and the ether become merged.
Yes, so, it's explained that the ether is for sound. And from the ether comes the air. And then from the air comes the fire. Fire is producing water and water is producing earth. And each element then has some sense associated with it. These are the tanmatras. Then each element has a sense associated, just as ether is sound, it's connected with ear. Then from ether comes air. Air is connected with touch. And also sound is there and air. And then from air comes fire. There and fire we have vision, and we have touch, and we also have sound. And then from the fire comes the water. And in water we have the taste, and the sound, and the touch, and like that. And then earth is all of the senses. Earth is a smell, a taste, touch, sight, and sound. So in that way, ether is in all the elements, or sound. All right?
Yeah, okay. There is also another statement that it's about Prithu. He placed the Mahatattva into Prakriti, the covering on the Jiva. And the purport is they said, he placed the shelter of all the gunas, Mahatattva, in Maya, the covering Maya, Maya on the Jiva. So, superior to, I don't understand what he's saying here. He placed the shelter of all the gunas, mahatattva, in Maya, the covering on the jiva. What this means, I cannot figure out. He placed the shelter of all the gunas, the mahatattva, in brackets, in Maya. The covering.
Yes.
Maya.
What is Maya? Maya means the covering of the three modes of material nature. That's all it means. Maya, when we say Maya, what do you mean? Satarajatama. Our influence in the living entity to see things in a distorted way. And we see things in their proper perspective in Vishuddha Sattva. So when the modes of material nature become active, that is called Maya. The activities of the modes of material nature. This is what Maya is. Shelter means where they have their origin or resting place.
But the point is here that he placed the shelter of the gunas in Maya.
Yes.
So what is the shelter of the gunas?
That means, like I'm saying, the resting place. The resting place, where they are coming from. The shelter of the gunas is the mahatattva.
That is something beyond the Maya.
Yes.
So
mahatattva is the originating lump, you can say. Originating entity from which the gunas are coming. And the gunas themselves, that is Maya. What the activities of the gunas are is called Maya for the living entity. Not clear? Mahatattva is first. But what is Mahatattva? Mahatattva is the equilibrium of the three gunas.
So those
three gunas are what is manifesting Maya.
He placed the mahatattva in Maya.
So the mahatattva is the origin or shelter of the three gunas. That's what he's saying. They have their origin there in the mahatattva. There's the meaning of what he means by shelter. Shelter means they are there. They are residing there in the mahatattva first. And then those three gunas are manifested in the activities called, we call Maya. So they have their origin in the mahatattva. And we can say that therefore Maya is coming from the mahatattva, from the activity of the modes of material nature originating in the mahatattva.
And he placed the mahatattva in Maya.
Yes. Anyhow, when the sun is shining in your room, you can say the sun is in my room. Doesn't mean the sun globe is in your room, but we say like that, the sun is in my room. It means the sunshine is there, but the sunshine comes along with the sun. So we say the sun is in my room. In that sense, the mahatattva is in Maya. Because it's the origin of that. Something like that. All right, let's see what Mati wants to ask. Mati?
Yes, Maya.
What is your question?
My question goes back to the japa beads. When we reach the end, that beginning string, that's the tie bow ends together.
That's the Krishna bead. The Krishna bead? Krishna bead is there in the center.
Okay. Are we supposed, let's say we finish one round, are we supposed to jump over or are we supposed
No, never cross over. when I was initiated by Srila Prabhupada, he told me that. He said, don't cross Krishna. starting from one side of the Krishna bead, you chant and go around to the other side of the Krishna bead. And from the Krishna bead then on that side to go back the other way. So back and forth. But never cross Krishna. Never cross over the Krishna bead.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Yes. Somehow Prabhupada mentioned that to me when he gave me initiation. Of course, he would hold the beads and show us how to chant. He was like just so nice. He'd hold up the beads. Anyway, he would chant on the beads for us, and then he would hold them up and he'd show. He would chant like this and go bow around and then go back the other way. And don't cross over Krishna. And he said, this is the Krishna bead. Don't cross Krishna.
Is there a specific mantra or something we have to say when we start the chanting rounds?
Yes. We should say the Panchatattva mantra. Panchatattva mantra. Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nitananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Then begin chanting your rounds.
And when you finish that round, you're supposed to say back the Panchatattva mantra?
No. Just when you begin. In the beginning, we should chant the Panchatattva mantra because Panchatattva mantra doesn't accept any offenses. Panchatattva does not accept any offenses. There are 10 offenses. Panchatattva doesn't have any offenses. 10 offenses to chanting the holy names. So by invoking the Panchatattva, we're invoking their mercy. They kindly forgive me for any offenses and accept my chanting activity, my kirtanam.
Thank you, Maharaj.
What's that? Okay.
This each, what can say, beads, does it represent like any personality?
No.
Like as you told, the center one is for Krishna.
Yes. 808 gopis.
Okay.
And some relationship with that. What's that?
And Maharaj, also Mahaprabhu being chanting.
You'll also see on the beads, sometimes there's one place on the beads, 8 beads up, there will be a little string.
Yes, Maharaj, yes.
Huh? That is the 8 principal gopis. 108 gopis in total, and the 8 principal gopis. We can start from there chanting.
Okay, Maharaj.
I have some other question, Maharaj, if you...
Wait a minute, now Shushan had another question, what is that?
Maharaj, some devotees, Mahaprabhu also was chanting tying the knot on the cloth. So Maharaj, is there any hard and fast rule that, one should be chanted, way Guru orders, I think one has to chant, I think. Essential that he should have tulsi beads? If somebody says Sri Chaitanya must order somebody to chant some other way, the same mantra, but counting other, like some people are using some stopwatch kind of thing I've seen,
a counter.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, sometimes I know the devotees lose their beads. Or sometimes they find it inconvenient to carry a bead back. That it's too conspicuous, that others may not understand what they're doing. So they use different devices. I don't know, Prabhupada never mentioned anything about counters to us. Somehow that became a popular thing.
Yes, ma'am.
But if possible, you must chant on your beads that the Gurudev has given you. I've never lost my beads from Prabhupada's time. And my good fortune, but sometimes people lose their beads, I know. What to do? Then they have to get another. I've seen some devotees who had lost their beads and they went to Sridhar Maharaj and had him chant on their beads, and he used to touch their beads and chant Hare Krishna on them. Of course, it gives faith to the devotees by their chanting. It's all right. As long as, the main thing is when you're chanting, to be sincere. We don't have to count everything. Not the number not the quantity, it's the quality of the chanting that counts. The quality counts. Not that we have to count the quantity.
Maharaj,
what's that?
I want to ask Maharaj this. The debate in the intelligent design group. So the scientists wanted to say that there is no intelligent intervention, but the intelligent design group is saying that there must be some intelligence in the nature or in some. So do you think that by a formal system of logic, it is not possible to disprove that intelligence is there or not there? Just like Gödel's theorem is based upon a formal system of logic, if they include this, the final cause or some other, this efficient cause, do you think that the system will be complete at that, when if they include these two?
Well, according to Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas, those four causes are necessary to explain nature. Teleology, and then from the teleology, the purpose is derived, and from purpose an intention is implied. Wherever there is purpose, we find there must be some intention, and to that leads to the idea of God, the concept of God. Who was setting the purpose of nature? So as soon as we discover that there is a purposeful arrangement, a teleological arrangement in nature, that we discover by looking at nature, we can understand that there is some purpose behind it. The living organisms are controlled by some purposeful arrangement. They are trying to survive. Just like we say, why does a living entity want to survive? Why does he want to live? Why doesn't he want to die? Death is natural in this world, yet the living entity is trying to avoid death. And living entity is born in ignorance, but he wants to come to knowledge. And the living entity is always suffering, so different types of miseries, but he wants to be happy. And we explain that is because his nature is different. Nature is Satchidananda. His real nature is Satchidananda. And he is like a fish out of the water and in a foreign land. In this material world is a foreign land. Therefore he feels some discomfort in trying to live, in trying to know, and in trying to be happy. Right?
Yes.
So that we can understand that there is some purpose higher than just this material nature that is direct being, that the whole thing is being directed toward.
Yes.
That we call God. That we call God, whose will is directing the whole thing, or accounting for the whole thing.
I have some question on Sankhya from the Bhagavad.
Oh, is that okay, Purushottam?
Yes, Maharaj.
All right.
This is from the third canto, chapter 6. It is mentioned that the presiding deities of the hair sense organ are plants, and their function is relief from itching. So my question is, what hair have to do with plants? The presiding deities of the hair sense organ are plants, and their function is relief from itching. So the question is, what hair have to do with plants?
If you look at the earth as a head, and the trees and plants are like the hairs on the head. They stand up like the hairs on the head. I think that's what it means. Your hair is growing like grass. You have to cut your hair, you have to cut the grass also. I don't know, I think that's what the meaning is. I always imagined it was that.
Then there is also other statement. The deity of skin sense organ is Vayu.
Yes.
What Vayu or air has to do with touch sensation?
I explained that already. From the ether comes Vayu, from the air. Sound and then touch. The air is connected with touch, fire with sight, water with taste, and earth with smell. Each of the tanmatras has their organ.
And then there is a statement that there is a connection between directions and the ears and eyes. What directions have to do with ears and eyes? And also calculates, of course, direction in space. Ears
we determine direction by the eye, I see. We determine direction is for our eyes. And
well,
also where the sound is coming from. Where the eyes are looking will determine the direction. So direction has something to do with that. All right, I think we should end now. Time to end. My humble Dhanavad Pranams to all. If you'd like
just
to say Hare Krishna to one another.
Hare Krishna. Just one question. The last time the recording of the lecture, I didn't see it on the website.
Oh, you have to ask Jonathan about that.
We switched from tiny chat to Skype during that, and I lost it.
I see.
I apologize for that.
Okay. All right. Dhanyavad, everyone. Hare Krishna.
Jai
Hare Krishna.
Mata Puri Mataji ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Okay.